sleep, baby, sleep. Thy father guards the sheep. Thy mother shakes the dreamwood tree, and from it falls sweet dreams for thee. Sleep, baby, sleep. Sleep. Why don't you go to sleep, Ethel? Sleep. Oh my God! Beryl! 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 Ethel, our baby, there's something wrong with her. She's got some kind of rash. I don't care if it could be meningitis. If she, haven't you read the latest paper in the journal SSM Public Health? If she's ill now as a child, you know what this means for the future, don't you? She could be left wing, Beryl. She could be left wing. Oh my God, Beryl! Beryl! Beryl!
Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, I was channeling there, if you read Viz, I was channeling there The Mail Online, who is a hilarious send-up of conservative English men, but it actually has a rather serious point, which is a fascinating new paper which has been published called The Relationship Between Health and Political Ideology Begins in Childhood in the journal SSM Population Health. And what it finds is that, and it backs up something I've been saying for quite a while, I suppose, in some ways, about mutation and so forth, is that one of the key factors to whether or not you are going to be left-wing is not your health as an adult, it's not your health even as an adolescent, it's your health as a child. People who are healthy when they are children, mentally and also physically healthy when they are children, are more likely to end up being conservatives by the time they are 64. Whereas people who are very unhealthy when they are children are much more likely to end up being liberals by the time they are about 64. So it found, for example, that there is a 16-point difference between those who have excellent health when they are children and those who have very poor health when they are children. In terms of a conservatism scale, so those that have excellent health are 16% more likely to be strongly conservative when they are as children, when they are 64. Those that have very poor health when they are children are 13% more likely to be extremely liberal when they are 64. Overall, adults who have excellent health when they are children are 30% more likely than everybody else to be conservative by the time they are 64. So this relationship is very, very clear. And the study controlled for social class, which of course it controlled for socioeconomic status and poverty and things like this. It controlled for how educated you were, because it was a very large sample, and it even controlled for things like adolescent health. And even controlling for all that, the relationship is between, it's not adolescent health, it's not mediated by adolescent health, it is definitely childhood health that is the issue. How healthy you are when you are a child is related to how liberal or conservative you are by the time you are an adult. But how healthy you are when you are an adolescent or a young adult is not related. It's how healthy you are when you are a child. It is that which is what matters. Now, in terms of understanding, to put it in clear statistical terms, childhood health statistically significantly correlates with adolescent health at about 0.45. Adolescent health correlates with adult health at about 0.4. Adult health non-statistically significantly correlates with a political ideology when you are about 64 years old. However, childhood health, that statistically significantly correlates with adult political ideology at about about 0.1. So you can see that this is a really important relationship here. Now, in terms of the causes, what the authors look at is, if you are a child and you experience poor health, then this may result in stress. It may result in you being abused and bullied and treated less well. It may result in trauma. These problems, in turn, may lead to delayed development in terms of psychosexual development, in terms of social development, in terms of understanding who you are. People who experience delayed psychosexual development, delayed social development, and so on, are more likely to have fewer friends. This may lead to what the authors call a sense of othering. So you may develop this sense of being an outsider. This may cause you to start to develop a fondness for and an identification with other outsiders. And this can be argued, if you look at research, by a lot of research on leftism, what it often involves is identifying with the so-called marginalised, identifying with the with those who are othered, identifying with the outsider, and thus engaging in a political ideology where you promote their interests, the interests of the other, the interests of the outsider. Now, similarly, you could argue that if you are in that situation where you feel excluded, you will want to gain power and influence, but you will know that you are physically weak, you are mentally weak, you will have low self-esteem because of the way that you have been othered and rendered an outsider. And so the only way that you can play for status will be via a covert means, will be via virtue signalling and making yourself seem kind. And this will militate in favour of being left-wing because, of course, that is what left-wingness basically is. It involves virtue signalling and making yourself seem kind. And so that it would follow that if you feel this sense of exclusion by virtue of poor childhood health and all that stems from that, then you will end up being left wing. That is one theory. Similarly, the study found that if you have high childhood health, then this statistically significantly leads in adolescence to a high level of vigor. So it means that you're prepared to take risks, that you enjoy life, that you go for it, that you kind of develop along the pathway that you're supposed to. This in adulthood leads to a high level of happiness. So you are content with the world. You are happy with the way things are. You just want to use the cliche. You just want to, grill. You don't want an argument. You don't want to make things different. You don't want to change things. You're happy with the way you are, and therefore you're happy with the world. And this often seems to be the case, that people who are happy they don't want to go around changing the world, because they're happy. They're happy with who they are. They're happy. And so it's fine for them. They're angry about anything. They don't feel any sense of bitterness or resentment. They're perfectly happy with the way things are. And so they're attracted towards conservatism, really, towards not things not changing. And that's just a reflection of their own internal happiness. And really, these people who go around engaging in climate change activism or whatever, it could be arguable that they're just not happy. They're unhappy. And rather than deal with the causes of their own personal unhappiness, they cope with it by convincing themselves, by throwing themselves into some sort of large social project, some sort of piece of activism, in order to prove to themselves that they're somebody important, in order to prove to themselves that they matter, in order to prove to themselves that they're significant, in order to prove to themselves that they're better than the rest, and in order to therefore give themselves a sense of a way of dealing with their own internal unhappiness, almost via a sort of narcissistic method, via which you tell yourself that you're important and you tell yourself that you matter because you're more moral than other people. And actually, that's just a smokescreen. That's just a way of covering up fundamental internal unhappiness. And, of course, the evidence indicates that people that are on the left are high in neuroticism. They are high in mental instability. They are high in depression. They are high in anxiety. They are extremely unhappy people. And you can see why throwing yourself into activism, which makes you feel morally superior to others and tells you that you're kind of perfect, really, because you're morally superior to others, can be a way of at least allaying or failing to confront front, that fundamental unhappiness which is at your core, which is the case with the narcissistic personality. Or similarly with Machiavellianism, if you're fundamentally unhappy, then you worry about everything, you're anxious about everything, you're paranoid about people, and therefore you want to have power. And having power can allay your sense of low self-esteem, because of course it means that you're important and you matter, and also it means that other people can't have control over you. But either way, you can see how that works. Whereas with conservatism, well, this doesn't bother you. You're perfectly happy in yourself, and so you have no need to play for status and do these kinds of things. But anyway, this was what was found. There was also found to be clear differences in the kind of personality, and this is just replicating other research, which those that were conservative as adults had. People that were conservative as adults were essentially higher in conscientiousness, in evidence of rule following and impulse control, as expressed in things like tidiness and things like this. And they were higher in agreeableness, in altruism and empathy. And the factor which predicted that was in adolescents, how mature they were. So how emotionally mature they were for their age in adolescence. So if they evidenced maturity in adolescence, then the result is an adult who is conservative, who is therefore conscientious and agreeable. If they lacked maturity in adolescence, which in turn would be associated with having poor childhood health, because if you have poor childhood health, then you may well both mentally and physically mature later, then of course those people ended up being more likely to be liberal, and that was the relationship, where it was childhood health leading to adolescent vigor and adolescent maturity leading to conservatism, and that was the way that it worked. So one cause for this, as I say, can be that they have poor childhood health, and the poor childhood health results in this system, which leads to liberalism. An alternative, which of course the paper doesn't look at, is well, why are there these differences in childhood health in the first place? And one possibility that I've looked at again and again and again is that we were evolved under harsh Darwinian conditions of 50% child mortality to essentially be conservative. Conservatism involves an optimum balance between our five moral foundations, our group-oriented foundations of obedience to authority, of in-group loyalty, and of sanctity, which involves sanctity v. disgust, which involves keeping out things which are bad for the group, so the group-oriented foundations, and the individually-oriented foundations of equality, such that you want equality such that you have an equal share of what the group has, so that you're more likely to survive, and harm avoidance, i.e. wanting to avoid harm to yourself. Now, research by Jonathan Haidt and his team found is that conservatives are about equal in all five moral foundations, and liberals are very high in the individually oriented foundations, equality and harm avoidance, and very low in the group oriented foundations. Now, under these harsh conditions of Darwinian selection, we were being selected for religiousness, which is about up to 0.7 heritable, and religiousness is associated with being, in general, is associated with being strongly group oriented. We know that we were selecting for political ideology because of the heritability of conservatism, and seemingly if you consider that we were under group selection pressure, and the group that is highest in positive and negative ethnocentrism is more likely to survive, then obviously this means we were selecting for in-group cooperation, so we were selecting for being group-oriented. And we know that from the correlation between group-oriented ideologies and mental and physical health and its genetic nature, that's what we were selecting for, because people that are group oriented even now are more genetically healthy. So that's what we were selecting for with 50% child mortality. So any deviation from that is going to likely be associated with mutation. And there is a great deal of evidence that it is. And in that the brain is 84% of the genome, if you have mutation of the body, which would happen if you reduce child mortality due to better medicine and whatever, then you're sure as damn going to have mutation of the mind. And so what you would see is a rise in people who are individually oriented mentally, who are basically mentally liberals. And this would parallel having poor physical health. And if this was genetic, if something's genetic, then the more genetic something is, the earlier it shows up. So if you've already got poor physical health in childhood, then this implies very high mutational load. and therefore we would follow that you should have the kind of mental perspective which should be a deviation from the pre-industrial norm. So that's exactly what you're seeing. You're seeing they go together at the genetic level, liberalism and poor genetic health. And this should express itself in children who are having poor genetic health, obviously, just for genetic reasons alone, more likely to be liberal when they become adults. And then this is going to be a symbiotic relationship with the environment. And this is what the paper does pick up on. The environment and the fact of feeling excluded and whatever as a result is only going to compound this. It's only going to make it worse. So I'm afraid to tell you that if you find that your child is sickly, there is every possibility that he or she is going to be woke when they're older.
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House. And I will see you all soon. And goodbye!